Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. You're either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football podcast feed or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. Honestly, very weird vibes. I think in part due to the fact that it's that first slate we get where there's only two games in the afternoon means that by the time we've done this show, we've already like moved on into, you know, morning. Not that we all won in cash. Nate played the absolute blade of a team. Not really, we're just going to kind of go where the show goes, because this was the most duped slate in the history. There can't have been any more dupes. I'm looking right now in the 2,300 entry, massive $50 double up. So that's 2,300 entries. I finished at 465th place and did not double my money, because that's how many duplicates there were of this lineup that Sammy and I played.
If you want to get all the money, you just got to alpha the shit out of the slate like Nate did. I mean, Nate, to borrow a phrase from Evan Silva, I must capitulate to you. You are the true stone alpha. Nemo Noling is no more. I cannot believe what you did. And you just must have won every single game that you possibly entered.
Your team had to have been in first of the massive single entry double ups.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, it was a duped team, so it wasn't like it was a unique team. But yeah, I think I got like eighth or something in the $25 double up, swept every head-to-head. But unfortunately, 1.8x your money is not like winning in GPPs. So it's frustrating when you hit the nuts and you feel great about the slate and you really don't profit that much because your GPP teams suck. But yeah, I mean, it was an interesting slate. Like, even though it didn't turn out to be,
it was
I thought going into it, it was. It was the first time we ever It was the first time we had a Josh Allen slate where Josh Allen wasn't the like obvious only QB play. Pretty much every other time this year, anybody who didn't flop Josh Allen was a bad like cash player. And this week I thought the Fields team had merit. Like, it was the first time that Josh Allen wasn't in like the, so I don't know. I do think there is some interesting things to break down.
God, I wish Nate, you'd played freaking Josh Allen. Like, you were close.
I was going to.
I know.
I was going to, because the Khalif team was not something I was going to do. Like,
oh God, what if you played Allen and Khalif Raymond?
He was so close to disaster. Okay. So here, let's just run through the teams real quick. Sammy and I played the most duped team in the history of DraftKings NFL DFS cash games.com. Justin Fields at quarterback, Austin Eckler at running back, Travis Etienne at running back, Ramondre Stevenson at running back, Chris Godwin, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Palmer at wide receiver, Foster Moreau at tight end, Panthers defense. Nate played that same team, except he played Joe Mixon and his 58.1 DraftKings points instead of Austin Eckler. And he played Tyreek Hill's 30.3 fantasy points instead of Chris Godwin's 10.7. So Joe Mixon wins the 2v2 all by himself. Godwin
does Tyreek win it too?
No, because Eckler got to 25. Yeah, it was very, very close though. This is the interesting thing about this slate, is that Nate's team was duped and our team was super duped. and neither of those teams were the top blended optimal. The two
What was the top blended optimal?
I didn't even look. I didn't even look because I didn't because I thought the team was so obvious.
Davis, can you first off tell the people what the blended optimal is? We've been getting a lot of questions on Twitter about it.
Everyone does their own thing. I don't actually do it. Our good friend Kyle Cannon does it. And he does 4-for-4, ETR, Cardi, and another one that I'm not remembering. I think he uses the DR as part of it too. But everyone does something differently. Like Pete's is just like when Pete talks about it on his stream, it is the ETR and Cardi. Pretty much it's ETR and Cardi plus someone else is what people are saying with the blended optimal, which is literally just collating and aggregating. You collate the names.
I'm guessing the blended optimal was pretty close to what you guys had, but probably Lockett over Godwin.
Let me ask Kyle what it was right now.
It would have been actually really, really cool to play Lockett over Godwin because we wouldn't have chopped all
why
these
I did I
contests.
Say that in our
why
chat?
Why didn't you?
Well, I was going to say, did I send that in our chat or another one? I considered swapping to Lockett over Godwin.
I did too.
Just because it was so obvious our team was a train and that Lockett would be less owned. So just picking up some sweep equity, I thought, and then which was like, I don't know, we already have a win locked up. Whereas, so we had a win locked up with, I mean, Godwin could have gotten zero and we still would have won. But if Godwin goes for 16 and Lockett gets 10, you lose.
Yeah, Nate, the decision that I arrived at, because in the projections, I mean, I don't know what it looked like aggregated, but they came up super close, super close. And for me, I just thought that the Bucs are a more pass heavy team and Godwin has a higher target share. You know, and he ended up getting, I think, like 10 or 11 targets compared to Lockett's 5. So I feel fine about that. But the issue is that Chris Godwin is attached to a 50-year-old man who's going through a divorce and having a midlife crisis. And Tyler Lockett is attached to an actual good NFL quarterback. So that should have been maybe an indication that Tyler Lockett was a better play than Chris Godwin. Cause I was watching this freaking Bucks Rams game and it's just awful, awful, awful football. Like so bad. These teams are egregious. They were in the NFC Championship game last year, right?
I mean, Vegas knew though. It was the third lowest team total or the third lowest game total on the slate. It was a 43 like game total. This was not a shocking outcome for Tampa Bay. That's why I thought Arizona-Seattle, at least, like, obviously with Lockett, you have injury risk and all these other things, like, and his QB sucks too. But
yeah,
at
but
least
it's not like it's not like the total and the pace. It's not like that's not accounted for in the median projections. It is.
Right. I mean, just at the end of the day, like, my wife comes home and she looks at the game and she goes, she saw Brady get that trash-ass touchdown at the end and she goes, Did the Rams win the Super Bowl last year? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, what happened? I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. But that game was ass. And we knew the game would be ass. Vegas knew the game would be ass. And instead, the Seahawks-Cardinals put up 52 points. So maybe Lockett was the play. I don't know. It was really close. But I liked the idea of Godwin just getting a bunch of targets, kind of low A dot. Maybe not as low A dot as they ended up being, but like, you know.
What do you have, 8 for 35 in the end?
Something like that. I mean, it was so ugly. Like,
so I mean, the other build that people went with was paying up for Allen and then punting at wide receiver with one of Khalif. I mean, pretty much everybody went Khalif Raymond if they punted at wide receiver. And Khalif was just someone who I was not willing to play. Like, I think I've said it before. I'm not going to play 180-pound Khalif Raymond in cash on DraftKings.com, especially at 4K or whatever he was at. So I looked at an Allen team, and I was IK being Terrace Marshall over him, I think.
Would have been hot. T-Marsh did good.
But I didn't pull the trigger on the Allen team just because I felt like I was giving up way too much floor when I looked at the Fields team with Mixon and it was Mixon and Tyreek versus Eckler and Lockett / Godwin or whatever you guys decided to do.
Yeah, so talk about that decision with that 2v2, because obviously I think Tyreek was easily the highest projected receiver on the slate. And Mixon, I think, what was he, 6.5? And he comes with this really amazing role, right? He gets work in the passing game. He gets taken off occasionally on like third downs. But for the most part, he catches a lot of balls. He gets the base work and he gets the goal line work. He's a big home favorite. And he's kind of sucked this year. Like he's run way below expectation in terms of like his role versus his fantasy point output. The Bengals look like straight dog meat last week when they got their bunguses pushed in by Cleveland in a primetime game. And so I kind of had this cognitive bias, like, yeah, I know Mixon projects well and I love the role and all this stuff, but like, man, I just can't stomach another 8-carry, 27.
Well, this is what really gets my fucking goat is two weeks ago, I play Mixon in this exact same spot. Exact same. Huge favorite, shitty team. Mixon scores a touchdown in the first quarter. What do they do? What do they do? Spend the rest of the game treat Joe Burrow like they're playing fucking 7-on-7. Mixon gets 5 carries in the second half. What do they do in this game? They're literally calling plays trying to get Mixon. Like the outcome of the game is 100%, no doubt. They're instead of, you know, just dicking around at the end of the half, getting the field goal, whatever, they're like, no, you know what we're gonna do? End zone targets for Joe Mixon. Let's just throw Joe Mixon, a dart 20 yards in the back of the end zone. And Nate had the goddamn audacity that week to tell me that I was in the wrong for playing Joe Mixon in literally the same exact spot. And now Nate he gets to come in here with his 58.1 Joe Mixon points and be like, oh, you know, sometimes you just gotta IKB, dude. Sometimes you just gotta know. And it's just, it's so frustrating. Obviously, it's like daily fantasy sports, and no one cares that they scored like 67 points against the Falcons and Joe Mixon didn't get anything. But Nate just always runs good like this, and it always chaps my ass. It really does.
Davis, sometimes it's just more of a field game, and you just
get him, Nate.
You just gotta know. And honestly, in this spot, like this is the perfect regression spot. You have Austin Eckler, who's scored like a touchdown on like every other touch he's
did it again today, got like 14 touches.
Eckler is scoring is like his TD efficiency is way outpacing his workload. His price is 8500 on DraftKings or 80 whatever it was on DraftKings. Mixon is 6500 and his workload is not as good as Eckler, but it's relatively close. He's getting like a 15% target share over the past couple of weeks, and he's just not scoring touchdowns. Then you take Chase off the field. You, like, the offensive workload gets even more condensed for the Bengals, and it's just like this was a smash spot that screamed regression for a guy who is going to get the workload. And at 6,500, when I can get him and Tyreek, like, that was –
I'm not even criticizing you. I'm not even saying your 2v2 is bad. I think it was fine.
Yeah, you just run hotter than the Suns team.
This is not like a Sammy playing Deontay Johnson against the Ravens and like lucking out. Like I'm not saying.
I mean, anybody who uses like projections that are based on expected points or workload would have seen that the gap in median projection between Mixon and Eckler was way closer than it seemed.
Guys, I think, by the way, just while I remember it, I just remember what the blended optimal was. It was Josh Allen and Zay Jones and
the optimals love Zay Jones.
Yeah, the optimals loved Zay Jones. That I just came to me. But what's fascinating is that everyone on the website IKB'd that team and did the Fields team. Everyone.
Yeah, because everybody knows that Josh Fields has just a complete hog in his pants, and he showed it off today when he did that little juke and had that 61-yard touchdown where he got the bonus and the touchdown. It was just like, oh snap, it's Fields day. He ended up, what was it, the most rushing yards in
regular
history
season
for a quarterback in
season? Kaepernick Fields had more in the Packers game.
Yeah. I saw you dunk on somebody on Twitter. That was fun.
Yeah.
Fields is legit. I've said this all year. I think he is legit. I think he can play. I think the more that he's going to be put in spots like this where he's allowed to make plays, it's I mean, it's wheels up for Fields. And so we did obviously run hot, like with the way that Allen worked out and everything like that. But
Davis and I did not run hot because we had the Bills and Survivor. So
it's so misleading. Like, and it's just like, so to compound the day of misery, it's like, one, you can't even sweat your cash lineup. Like, okay, maybe you have a bad day in GPPs. Maybe you have a bad day in seasonal or whatever. But then you can like sweat your cash lineup to take your mind off of it or whatever, just to have something else to fixate on. But like, as soon as Fields runs for that 60-yard touchdown, we're like, okay, like this team just wins, you know, like nothing else matters. And then you're scrolling through your teams. You're like, shit, I got Davante Adams on this one and I got Mixon on this one, but I don't have any with those two guys together, you know? And it just is horrible. And a bunch of my high stakes teams just took shits everywhere. Just awful. It was a bad day, man. I had a bad day. I was snipping at people in the Discord. It was terrible, dude. I was having a tough time.
Pushing your dogs away from you, just like, no, not right now.
No, and then, you know, the time changed. So they're asking for dinner at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, bro, you got to get out of my face right now. Like, I can't.
Buddy, you're lucky you don't have kids, man. It was a complete zoo. My kids were up at like 4:50 in the morning. Falling asleep on the couch at 11 a.m. It was a complete shit show. And,
dude, daylight savings ruins dogs. It's nuts. Yeah. I mean, they wake up. It's the worst.
Yeah. How was your day horrible on Prize Picks, though? Did you have Mixon overs on Prize Picks?
Did not. I had reminder Stevenson overs everywhere that killed my day. So
yep. DK Metcalf did it for me. Him and Josh Jacobs.
There was a 2v2 in cash, which was Lockett and Evan Ingram over Godwin and Foster Moreau. So I'm really wishing I would have locked myself.
Moreau was the play. I mean, I think we like Evan Ingram is the guy that we've wanted to have happen for so long and has gotten the opportunity like at every team. And he's just never proved it. He's one of those guys who's just way more athletic than he's going to be on a football. Like his athleticism does not translate to NFL production. It just doesn't.
He's been doing good. He was gonna be my cash game tight end before we got Moreau. Like I was just
We got Moreau, but once you get Moreau, I mean everything was different. I was looking at some gross punts when we didn't have Moreau, but once we had Moreau, it was like he was the play.
Robbed us of Noah Fant week. God, I wish we hadn't got Moreau and I just flipped over Noah Fant on your all asses. Would have been a good show.
Would have been.
I don't know who I would have played at tight end.
You would have played Brock Wright, buddy.
No, I was looking at Brock. I probably would have paid up for like Tonyan or something and been super tilted.
Tonyan? No. I don't know what else to say about this slate, man. Like I just don't. I thought the team was pretty clear. I liked Nate's. I mean, obviously it worked out really well, but I was looking for ways to get Tyreek Hill in my lineup, and I really didn't consider that the way you did it. And
were,
I really
were you
should
worried
have.
About the wind, bro? Were you worried about the wind with the whole?
I was not worried about the wind. No,
pea shooter Tua.
I was not worried about the wind. I was simply just like, oh, I'm not going to war without Austin Eckler this week. I mean, you say he like runs above expectation, but I think that's garbage.
He gets like a billion targets a game.
Yeah, he
I'm
gets
not
a million
saying that Eckler was a bad play. I'm just saying at 2,300 more than Joe Mixon.
Yeah, but like, you're also
the only
saying
way he's
yeah, but Joe Mixon, dude, Joe Mixon is like the most fucking tilting fantasy player in like the entire universe.
Yeah, okay, but Nate, you're saying Eckler, you're saying his touchdowns are, and you're just looking at workload. It's like they try not to give Eckler a high workload. They run Isaiah Spiller and like these you know, chuckle dicks into the line on like base downs, but every time they need a catch, every time they're in the red zone, etc., it's Eckler. So he's always going to outproduce what his like holistic stuff looks like because they take him out of the low value touches stuff. The guy's got 30 touchdowns in his last like 25 games or whatever. He's got a nose for the zone. Nate, you got to understand Austin Eckler is that man. So you can't just
Austin Eckler's run above
Austin Eckler. His DK points above expectation will regress. Like, it just will. Maybe not to one, maybe not two expectation, but it will regress down. It will not stay at this efficiency forever.
Like, well, sure, he scored 20 touchdowns last year, and he scored 10 and a half a season this year. Like, obviously, that does not stay. Historically, no one's been able to do that besides like Preach Holmes and Thomas.
But you're paying for that. You're paying, like, that's baked into his price. That's why he's $2,000 more than every
other. He's not 10K, bro. This isn't 2014 Le'Veon Bell or whatever. He was what, 8,300. I mean, it's pricey, yeah. But it's not 98. Yeah. I mean,
that's a good point. It is different than some of the running back prices we have been used to in the past of you know, peak McCaffrey and Le'Veon and David Johnson and stuff like that.
I would say when you are $2,000 more than three other running backs who all have similar, like Ramondre.
You do make a fair point.
Etienne and Mixon. I mean, he was multiple standard deviations outside. Well, how about of the expectation. You have to get unbelievably historical, like, efficiency from him to make up that price gap. Like,
well, and I
which
think,
is fine, and it will, and it has happened up until this point. But I'm just saying, if we play the slate out over 1,000 times, that gap's going to be much closer than the salary would expect you would lead you.
You
to
do
expect.
Make a good point, because it's relative to how things worked in tournaments. Like, I didn't play Eckler in a single tournament lineup because it felt so obvious that at least two, but probably three of those 6K value running backs were going to go nuts, right? Mixon, Ramondre, Walker, Josh Jacobs was in there. And of course, I played 100% of the one who did the worst, Ramondre, instead of 100% of Walker or Mixon. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, but Ramondre got cucked a little bit. I mean, like,
they just
no, he for sure did.
So what they did is they just did the Damian Harris workload. They had them rotating series, but Ramondre was in for third downs, 2-minute drill, and goal line. Sure.
Like, his workload's still good, but obviously they really went in with a plan.
But I mean, he was projected for the second most running back points, and I think the fourth most skill position points of any player on the slate, and did not get that workload.
Yeah, like, you'd still play him at the price for 15 carries and 7 targets, but yeah, he was not like the full time guy. Like, Harris is out, and he's out there 90% of the snaps in this game. So something to watch moving forward, because I'm sure his price goes up next week and he might not be that guy.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. Let's do tournaments. I don't have anything else interesting to say about this fucking dupe train.
Yeah. I'm excited to show off the tourney lineup.
Okay. Are you guys going to talk about those cheap wide receivers at all? Like, in cash, because so many people played them.
Oh, Raymond and there was Raymond, there was Carter, there was Tyquan Thornton, Garrett Wilson. It just all felt like they were all pretty thin, and it just was not necessary with a min price defense, and it just wasn't worth getting Allen in. You know, Palmer did get the bonus. I don't know. None of them seemed like smashes. Like, I just was not going.
Palmer was really good,
but I was not going to war with Khalif Raymond. Like, I've been down the Khalif Raymond road before, and been down the Zay Jones road before. Like, I was just not playing Zay Jones in cash. It was unnecessary to get Josh Allen when Fields is I actually robbed the listeners of a great moment. Because for like 90 seconds, I considered playing Trevor Lawrence over Justin Fields because of the wind. I think the total dropped a point.
That would have been an all time.
I want to stop the show now.
From Justin Fields because of the wind? I would have. Oh, my.
There was also
my life savings for that show. My
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That would have been
God.
I was also not gonna do this.
I hope that when you die, you get to go back to another place in your life and like relive it. And I might choose yesterday and relive my life from that day forward, only with Davis playing Trevor Lawrence over Justin Fields. That would be the point.
Some people played Mariota over Fields straight up in our lineup. I I was going through a couple of head-to-heads, and I saw a couple of the Mariota chuckleheads, and I was like, oh, man.
Hey, by the way, let me throw this out there. So you guys get, like, invites from listeners every week. We appreciate the invites. You know, keep them coming. Whirling Dervish, Nate N., and Davis Matic. But I don't know if this happens to you guys, but a lot of times, like, somebody will send me an invite, and then, like, somebody else will take it. Like, you got to make the thing private if you want to play. Like, it'll be like, does that happen to you guys?
No. Yeah, I click on it and then it's already gone.
Yeah, like, somebody else.
Yeah, Thursday.
I mean, I guess maybe the people are trying to send me games are probably bum hunting me. They're probably like, this guy plays the worst fucking team every week. So they know how the DraftKings website operates, you know? They're like, oh, this guy just gives me unlimited action. He's terrible. Okay, the blended optimal, I was wrong. The blended optimal was Josh Allen, Joe Mixon, and Khalif Raymond over... So Allen instead of Fields, Khalif instead of Godwin, and then Mixon instead of Eckler. So does that team now? That team doesn't even win. I don't think
that team wins. If you have Mixon,
Mixon got so many.
Yeah, he got so many, bro. He got so many. And Allen still had two rushing touchdowns.
You know what's insane,
such a weird experience to have my entire cash team locked at noon. And then with the Mixon thing, I mean, literally at 12:20. My day was over.
Yeah.
Davis, what was it like for you to have no swaptions? Were you feeling anxious today? Were you feeling boxed in, claustrophobic?
Well, no,
we had
the Lockett versus Godwin swaption.
Yeah, true.
And we should. I mean, it would have been worth, I don't know, probably 20% of our action, I would guess, conservatively, to make that swap. Because you probably totally sweep cash versus anyone who didn't have Mixon.
Yeah, should have done it. Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay. I was afraid of getting knocked out of the double ups. I should have just gone through cash. But
well, the thing is the risk of ruin is much higher because had Godwin outscored Lockett by even 0.1, you're trailing the two biggest trains on the site.
Yeah, but like, is it worth it? Like in your cash games,
to risk zero or minus 50% when you have plus 20% or whatever already locked up, the EV calculation is way worse.
Well, it depends on the swap. I mean, this one, I mean, to be honest, I had Lockett straight up more than Godwin.
I think I honestly might have too.
That's why I'm so confused as to why the ownership it must have been, I mean, I was gone most of the week, so I didn't read all the touting sites, but it must have been sites pushing Godwin over it because projection wise, I'm guessing it was relatively.
Well,
that's
what I'm saying
Lockett.
Is even Fields.
Everybody had
too,
the 6,200.
Though.
I don't understand.
Even like, Fields and Eckler were content driven and not projection driven too.
Yeah, Fields definitely was. I mean, he ended up late in the week, like kind of bumping over the other 5.3K guys. But like early in the week, I saw Mariota like projected over him, and I scoffed. I was like, nah. No, I ain't doing that. Like
this Fields game has been coming for a while. I mean, they've been unleashing him more and more, and he's getting more and more confident.
This should have been the Trey Lance game. We got robbed. Robbed.
We really did.
All right, let's talk about these shitty tournament lineups we put together.
Okay. I actually had the bones. Like this was the first time I felt like process-wise all year. I was like, okay, I'm not like a million miles away. Because I had a good chunk of Mixon, I had a lot of Davante Adams, and I thought my read on the Seattle Arizona game was pretty right. I'll go with my team that I played in the SPY. It not that I'm tilting or anything. It did miss out on min cashing by 0.2 points. Not that I'm, you know, worried about it or bothered or anything. Oh, it's like fucking god, worst
NBD,
worst fucking day of my life. So I played Geno Smith, 6% owned. Joe Mixon, Ramondre Stevenson at running back. I double stacked him with Metcalf at 9%, Lockett at 9%, and then I did a double bring back Rondale at 5%. Surprised to see DeAndre Hopkins at 23%. That seemed really high. And then I played Foster Moreau again at 12%. I actually thought that was low. I thought he would be way more.
Oh, yeah.
And then I played the Bears defense at 1% owned. They did keep up their end of the bargain by facing like 45 passing attempts. They did not hold up their end of the bargain by scoring negative 4 points.
They had a Jaguars-esque Jaguars against the 58 attempts of Matt Ryan type game.
Yeah. So like structurally, I would probably, if I saw those ownerships and stuff again, I would probably do it. And then the other team that I played, they were all this I played in like the red zone and stuff. It was all Trevor Lawrence double stacks with Devontae Adams, who's only 7% owned, but I did not play Joe Mixon on any of those teams. So I think if I had just combined those ideas, I could have found a winner because Kirk got 21. Yeah. The problem was is that I had decided on Ramondre at absurd ownership instead of Mixon because I'm a fucking dipshit, apparently.
you know the other thing at DST is we should have just played a bunch of Lions in tournaments. Like, knowing.
Oh, yeah. That was so. Right? How obvious is that in retrospect?
So obvious. Like, we're like, oh, you know, the Lions suck and they're in a dome. It's like, no, dude, you know who sucks? Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. You got to get on that.
And
we have a whole.
Sammy, this provides a great transition into my team.
Oh,
you know, we did lose today. We did lose. Let's not forget, we all are losers. But at least we went down with dignity and we didn't play a 10% owned Aaron Rodgers, except for Nate, who I'm guessing is about to tell us that he played a bunch of Allen Lazard, Tunyon, Rodgers stacks with a Khalif Raymond bring back.
Pretty close, except for the Khalif. I'm not bringing it back with Khalif, that's for sure.
You bring it back with Brock Wright?
Nate, I think this is the listener's new favorite part of the show.
This
when you
has
flip
to
over
be. I mean,
main
this has to be. I'm looking at it. I'm like, man, it's a dome. This Detroit Lions, I mean, this defense is brutal. This is it. I mean, Aaron Jones, Allen Lazard, Aaron Rodgers, like, come on. This is it.
Newsflash, Nate. This ain't it.
Yeah, this ain't it. So I'll just walk through the team. Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Travis Etienne, Tyreek Hill, Allen Lazard, Thornton at 4%, Foster Moreau, Jamal Williams with a Vikings D. Put up 124, did not cash. But yeah, I mean, I went with that Rodgers, Jones, and Lazard stack with the Jamal Williams bring back.
Oh boy. Well, at least you kind of had it right that like if this team succeeds, it's because the Lions like get out to a lead and grind it out while Aaron Rodgers frantically throws the ball around the yard trying to stage a comeback. And yeah, you almost had it.
I mean, honestly, Williams had like three or four shots at the end zone. Like this was, it easily could have been a two TD Williams game. So I feel fine about that. It's just, I don't know. I mean, the Rodgers dust thing is so painful.
Who's more dust? Is it Aaron Rodgers or is it Tom Brady? I mean, I think we need sure.
Or Russell Wilson. Take.
It's Rodgers. It's Rodgers. Rodgers is the most dust, then Wilson.
I think is the more interception hurt than he anything. Threw. The interception he threw targeting David Bakhtiari was one of the saddest moments in NFL history. Oh my God, it was unbelievable. I was obviously taking joy in that, but also at a certain point, like you want to watch good game, and you also like, I played a bunch of Amon-Ra St. Brown, so wanted him to get more points. It was like the Lions could have just punted. The Lions could have just punted on it, like first down. And
better field position.
I said on the Swolecast this week that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense could play 7-on-7 against a high school team, and I still don't think they'd get to 21. And I feel pretty vindicated about that.
Yep, you're vindicated. I mean, just put him in a body bag. My team, I also focused on the Arizona and Seattle game, although I didn't kind of like juggernaut it like you did, Davis. I did a Kyler double stack with Hopkins and Rondell and brought it back with Metcalf. I thought Metcalf was like one of the better plays on the slate. He, as it turns out, he was not one of the better plays on the slate. Got a little touchdown. It's fine. But I played those four, and then I played Ramondre. I played Josh Jacobs, real shrewd. I'm still eating the helium from last week when Jacobs cost me so much bankroll in cash because I played him over Kamara, and I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm going to take Josh Jacobs on this team. I'm going to take his rushing over on Prize Picks. Like, Josh Jacobs is who he thought he was.
Yeah. Isn't that one of the funniest things? Josh Jacobs just had three really good games, but it turns out, the Raiders are still the Raiders. Turns out, and you know what's going to be super funny is people are going to chase this Mixon thing for a couple more weeks. And then about 3 weeks from now, people are going to be like, oh, no, Joe Mixon's still just Joe Mixon. He's still the guy. He didn't morph into Bo Jackson because of one game against the Panthers.
I feel like Josh Jacobs is like trying to like chase an altcoin. You know what I mean?
It's totally like trying to get the next like sushi coin pump or whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would go to him if it wasn't for the fact that he's actually losing the workload. Like, he's not out there on passing snaps anymore. Like, he's not the guy. Like, I don't think he was out there on like one third down. It was nuts. I mean, it's not just he's not converting stuff. This is like his workload's drastically different than it was earlier.
Well, he freaking sucks is the point. So I played him like an idiot. And then at receiver, I did play Khalil Raymond.
Sammy.
Well, tough scene.
I played Khalif a little bit in tournaments. No. I mean, he's been out there. Like, dude, Nathan. We've all made worse plays than Khalif Raymond with Josh Reynolds out, buddy. Trust me.
Yeah, it was in a dome. I mean, it was in a dome. And I played Cade Otton, the GOAT, at tight end. Of course, he put up, 17.8 on this team, the only flame. At DST, I played the Commanders at home against Minnesota.
I played a little bit of them as well. Yeah, I'm looking at my teams, and I'm really frustrated I didn't find – Fields team. I played one Fields, but I'm really frustrated I didn't find a Mixon and Adams team. That's just really obnoxious.
Yeah. Wow.
I got too cocky because of the Pollard shit last week where I played 100. I played him on every team and he obliterated the slate. So I got too cocky in my ability to project which chalk running back was going to be the guy you had to have.
Is Ramondre the next Tony Pollard? The answer is
I literally said that this morning on Twitter. And turns out he wasn't. He's so good though. Like, I mean, really the guy is. He's really unbelievable.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh man. I saw this. I saw this stat. There's been 10 wins by 23 points or more this season, and three of them were the Patriots. That no one would have gotten that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we also lost our Survivor Week with the Patriots, so against the Bears. So, you know, just goes to show. We're just bad at timing stuff, Davis. Just not good. It's not good. Joe Mixon and the Patriots, the bane of our existences.
You hate to see it. It's just
you hate to see it. I frankly, like, we should end this show. This is just, this week was ass. It was ass. You put together a good lineup. You win barely anything. Nate dunks all over us. You know, we lose in Survivor and on Prize Picks. And it's just like, man, you know, what's the sense of it all?
What is I mean, it's and like honestly, it's just part of our like specifically our broken brain stuff because we got so many things we're wagering on a given Sunday. You know, it's like, oh, I got Survivor and I got seasonal and I got best ball and I got my cash team and I got my GPP team, and it's like
it's impossible to do well in all of them. Yeah,
there's no outcome that could make you happy. Yeah, you're destined for minimum 20% pain.
Even
when you do smash. It doesn't feel great, like, because I didn't smash everywhere. Like, my cash team was the legitimate nuts. Like, no way, nothing could have gone better. Yet, because of my tournament teams and Prize Picks sucking, like, it wasn't, like, my most profitable week.
Yeah, we need help. We are sick people. This is not a good way to live.
I'm like literally unwell. Like, I literally have
we gotta get a GPP win. One of us has to, like, that's where we have to step it up. This cash.
We really do. Cause like Nate literally played Joe Mixon in cash and is not even happy. Like, this is terrible. Yeah. Like, what our dopamine has just been like completely demodulated, and we need therapy. This is bad.
I mean, last year at this point, I'd already had two top five finishes in the red zone. And 2 years ago, I had gotten second in the spy. And just nothing.
What did you do on FanDuel?
Funnily enough, it isn't. Guys, people say like, oh, it's so much easier to win on FanDuel, and you kind of just like, whatever. It's like, I don't want to deposit on FanDuel. So I happened to deposit on FanDuel this morning just because I had more time because of the extra hour. I played just a horrible team, just a straight up bad team in the $100 single entry on FanDuel. 4 points from Deion Jackson, 4 points from Gabe Davis, 1.3 points from Evan Ingram. Just a easy min cash. Very easy min cash with 128.4 points. Like a no sweat min cash. So there's definitely a little bit of something to, so maybe we'll do like FanDuel GPP corner every weekend. Maybe that's the secret.
All right, I'm going to have to deposit. We'll have an extra hour next week too.
All right, there we go. Yeah, let's get out of here. This was horrible.
Not a good week.
Yeah, so I guess the answer is just play the guy who scores 58 points in cash and try and play more of that guy in tournaments. We're getting out of here, everyone. We'll see you back next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.